Adi ki jai, natakoti vaishnava rindu ki jai, namacharya shiva haridasa thakur ki jai. Prem shikaho shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaura bhakta rindu ki jai. Shri shri radha krishna gopagopina shamakunda radha kundi giri govardhana ki jai. Vrindavan dhamma ki jai, tibur dhamma ki jai, prabhuji mayapur dhamma ki jai, jagannath puri dhamma ki jai, gangamai jumuna devi ki jai, bhakti devi ki jai, tulsi maharani ki jai, samvaita bhakti. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Varanga. All glories to Sri Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pachani, Yurase, Sisim, Vani, Paska, Jande, Satana, Vande, Yom, Sri Guru, Sri Chapa, Kamala, Sri Guru, Vaishnava, Sri Rupam, Sagra, Jatam, Sagana, Ragana, Tam, Vitam, Sam, Sajiva, Sadvoitam, Sadvudutam, Padijana, Samita, Krishna, Tijan, Vaila, Sri Radha, Krishna, Padam, Sagana, Ravitam, Sri Vishakam, Vitam, Sri. Panchakalpa, Tri Vishaki, Vishindavi, Vachapti, Tam, Pavanavi, Vaishnava, Vaishnava, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 February 17, 2015 in New Govardhan, Australia. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 7, What Prahlada Learned in the Womb, Text 49. Sarvesham api bhutanam.
Sarvesham api bhutanam.
Aratmeshvara priya.
Aratmeshvara priya.
Bhutair mahadvi swakritai.
Bhutair mahadvi
swakritai. Swakritai, Kritanam Jiva Sanghita.
Savesham api bhutanam.
Savesham api bhutanam.
Hari Atmeshvara Priya.
Hari Atmeshvara Priya.
Kritanam jiva samhita.
Kritanam jiva samhita. Sarvesham api bhutanam.
Sarvesham api bhutanam.
Hari Atmeshvara Priya.
Hari Atmeshvara Priya.
Bhutai mahadvisva kritai.
Bhutai mahadvisva kritai.
Kritanam jiva samhita.
Kritanam jiva samhita.
Sarvesham api bhutanam. Hari Atmeshvara Priya. Bhutai mahadvisva kritai. Kritanam jiva samhita. Sarvesham api bhutanam.
Sarvesham.
Sarvesham.
Of all.
Of all.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Living entities.
Living entities.
Harihi.
Harihi.
The Lord who mitigates all the miseries of the living entity.
The Lord who mitigates all the miseries of the living entities.
Atma.
Atma.
The original source of life.
The original source of life.
Ishwaraha.
Ishwaraha.
The complete controller.
The complete controller.
Priyaha.
Priyaha.
The dear.
The dear.
That's D-E-A-R, not D-E. Bhutai.
Bhutai.
By the separated energies of the five material elements.
By the separated energies of the five material elements.
Mahadvi.
Mahadvi.
Emanating from the total material energy, the Mahatattva.
Emanating from the total material energy in the Mahatattva.
Swakritari.
Swakritari.
Which are manifested by himself.
Which are manifested by himself.
Vritanam.
Vritanam.
Created.
Created.
Jiva Samhitaha.
Jiva Samhitaha.
Who is also known as a living entity.
Who is also known as a living entity.
Since the living entities are expansions of his marginal energy.
Since the living entities are expansions of his marginal energy.
This is actually a pretty astonishing verse. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear, and he is the supreme controller. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested by his different energies, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. He is the original source of all living entities in the material world, and he is situated in everyone's heart as the supersoul. Although the living entity is the cause of his various types of bodies, the body is given by material nature according to the order of the Lord. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Rudeshajya Tisthati, Ramayana Sarvabhutani, Yantarudani Mahaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The body is just like a machine, a car, in which the living entity is given a chance to sit and move according to his desire. The Lord is the original cause of the material body and the soul, which is expanded by his marginal energy. The Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of all living entities. Prahlada Maharaj therefore advised his class friends, the sons of the demons, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead again. Sarvesham api bhutanam harir atmeshvara priya bhutar mahadviswa kritai kritanam jiva samhitaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear, and he is the supreme controller. So we're all looking for who is the most dear. Priyaha means who is the most dear. What do we mean by someone or something that's very dear? We have people in our lives, objects in our lives, maybe animals in our lives, that are very dear to us. What do we mean by that? Something that's very dear. The word dear sometimes, it's not used so much anymore, but in Old English, it used to mean expensive. The cost is very dear. It's very expensive. Something that's very valuable. Something that's very dear to me. It has some value. It has some importance to me. That without it, I feel that there's some problem. My watch is dear to me. Without it, I can't tell what time it is. I get disoriented. So it has some value. It has some importance to me. You might feel that way about your car. You might feel that way about a computer. Or, some clothing. Or a certain cooking utensil. Or something. We have something that we feel, if I were to lose this, it would really be a loss. We might feel that way also about some person in our life. Now, every day, so many people are dying, yes? Every day, everywhere, so many people are dying. Which doesn't affect us. Doesn't bother us. But if certain people were to die, it would affect us very greatly. We would say those people are very dear to us. If they weren't around, or if they were to move to another place, even. So they have some importance to us. They have some value to us. So things or people, any living being or any object which we feel with it we really gain something and without it we really lost something. We say that it's dear. Also things that are people or animals, whether they're living entities, objects that are dear to us, are ones that we find of interest. We have some fascination with them. We have some liking for them. It's very hard exactly to define this. But I remember when I was giving a class in Sao Paulo, Brazil, there was one lady who had a month-old baby. It was her first baby. And during the class, she's holding her baby, and she's examining the baby's feet very intimately, very intricately. And I was thinking, this baby is a month old, so she's surely seen this baby's speech before. You know, newborn babies generally just check out everything, but, you know, a month old. But she's still fascinated by this baby's feet, because the baby's very dear to her. I probably would not be fascinated by that baby's feet. But she is. And we find this also between men and women. Men and women are in love with each other. They're fascinated by the other person. They just look at the other person. Isn't that correct? And just stare at them. They'll even just stare at a photograph of them. People do this even with movie stars and famous people. They put their poster up and they just stare at them. They're fascinated by them. And of course, we were fascinated by them. We may be fascinated by our car. It may also be some object. Now, most of us are fascinated by our own bodies. Right, isn't it? Right? I wonder what he was telling me the other day, that he was giving a ride to one teenager, and the teenager pulled down the visor and opened up the mirror and was just checking out, you know. So we tend to be fascinated also by our body. We spend a lot of time, many of us at least. I mean, I have one devotee friend who has taken a vow never to have a mirror. But most of us, we're very fascinated by our body in mirrors, in photographs, right? On social media, people are, now they have the selfie, people are taking pictures of themselves, maybe many times in a day. So something we find, something that's dear to us, someone or something that's dear to us, we find important and we find fascinating. And another way we can understand what we mean by being dear, Priya, is what we depend on, what we take shelter of. Srila Prabhupada, in the very last sentence of this purport, talks about shelter, and significantly he uses the word again. It's not a new thing for us to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We do not have a philosophy that we were created at all. We're not created, we're eternal beings. And we've always been under the shelter of the Lord. We simply have a temporary amnesia, intentional temporary amnesia of that fact. So something or someone that's dear to us is someone we take shelter of. People sometimes do this with their dog. You know, they come home after a long day of work and the dog barks and greets them. Oh, my beloved dog. My dog loves me. My dog is there for me. Even if no one else is there for me, my dog is there for me. Or people take shelter of their work. They find some relief in their work. Or again, we take shelter of our own body. My body's going to do what I want it to do. It's going to be there for me. You know, we take shelter of our car, of our family. I know when my parents died, they were very elderly, but still when my mother died and the next year my father died, it was sort of interesting. I realized that I had always taken shelter of them to some extent. That you feel, well, if life goes haywire, I can always call my mommy and daddy. And they'll take care of me. And then they weren't there anymore. I just felt like, well, I don't have a shelter. We feel like this about our husband, our wife, our children, our home. We may feel like this about our mind, our education, how many people that we know. You know, I know 1,000 people, and then they'll take care of me. So this is what's dear to us. This is how we can understand when we say, what is dear to me? What is my kriya? It means someone or something, some living being, something that's really important, that I really value, that makes a difference to me if they're there or not, if they're in my life or not. I mean, there's a lot of people we may like, but if they're there or not, it doesn't really matter. Yes? And what we're fascinated by, what we're just entranced by, attract them to. And what's our shelter? And of course, if we really have this relationship that is mutual, the kind of relationship we're looking for is one that's mutual, which of course you can't have with your watch or your phone or your car. You know, your car doesn't find you fascinating, and your car doesn't really care if you show up or not, and your car doesn't take you as a shelter, although you may feel that way about your car. So we're looking for a reciprocal relationship. This is what we're searching for. We're searching for some relationship where I think you are very important. important. It matters to me if you're around, and it matters to you if I'm around. And I find you fascinating, and you find me fascinating. And you're my shelter, and I can be your shelter. We're there for each other. We can depend on each other. Of course, we don't generally, unfortunately, find this sort of relationship in this world very perfectly. We think we find this relationship, and in time we discover that it's not so. Right? We find that it's not so. We tend to have this relationship, first of all, with our own body. Most of us feel that our own body is very dear to us. We find it fascinating. We think it's very important. If anything goes wrong with our body, our life is hampered in some way, just like, you know, Ajita Prabhu, he's lost 1.5 toes, and so he can't get around. Right? Just your little toes. You can just lose your little toe, and there's so much disturbance in the body. So therefore, we feel it's very valuable. Without this body, how can I function? This was what Vitrasura told Vishnu. Actually, Vishnu told Vitrasura. He said, you should rest here on my planet because you've been running around after Lord Shiva for a long time. And if you tire out your body, you won't be able to fulfill your desires. And Vitrasura said, yeah, that's true. Right? And we also take shelter of our body. My body is going to fulfill my desires. I have all these plans. And my body is going to be the means of fulfilling my plans. I can depend on it. I can depend on it to wake up in the morning. I can depend on it to walk. I can depend on it to talk. I can depend on it to digest my food and so forth and so on. So that tends to be what's dear to us. And then, of course, we have other people that are dear to us, our family and friends, our mind that's very dear to us. Same thing. We're fascinated by our mind. Wow, look what I just thought of. Wow, look what I just figured out. And we feel it's very important. Anirudha from Melbourne told me how his grandmother and then his mother in their old age had dementia, and that's very scary, right? We think about losing our mind. Wow, my mind is important. Yeah, we take shelter. And the same with other people, and the same with objects. But again, these disappoint us. Is our body fully dependable? Anybody? Is your body fully dependable?
No.
Is it a really reliable shelter? What about the mind? Is the mind dependable? Does your mind love you as much as you love your mind? Does your body love you as much as you love your body? We serve our body. How many hours a day do we spend serving our body? Does our body reciprocate? Sometimes. And what about other people? Can we absolutely depend on other people? Even our mother, our father, our son, our daughter, our husband, our wife.
Not in my house, no.
To some extent, sometimes. But as much as we would like? And what about our things? That's really pathetic. Right? With our things, it's completely a one-way relationship. Our things really do. They don't even know that we exist. What to speak of caring them. But still, we have this hankering for who is most dear. So here Prabhupada Maharaj is saying something very astonishing. He's saying that really, our self, our own self, we, the soul, is nothing but the energy of Krishna. And our mind is nothing but the energy of Krishna. And our body is nothing but the energy of Krishna. And therefore, our natural inclination to take our body, our mind, and our very self as most dear should indicate to us that the person who's most dear is Krishna. So we're not really a world-negating religion. You know, sociologists try to understand religions in one of two categories, world-negating or world-affirming. They say either religions just say the world is evil, give it up. Those are mostly religions which have a purely transcendent view of God, that here's the world and here's God over there, and he has nothing to do with it. And then there's the world-affirming religions. The world-affirming religions say, yes, God is everywhere, the world is good, and the world is here for us to enjoy by God's grace. If we're good and we're pious, then God will give us money and health and a nice family and so forth and so on. So we're not really either of those. But here we're saying All right, your body's very dear to you. Meditate on your body as Krishna's energy. Or Agnir Mahika Ganam Gumudishascha. Kalasta Tatunam Siti Jagatra. Tasmad Bhavanti Bhavanti Vishanti Yamcha. That all these energies, what is the body made out of after all? It's made out of solids, liquids, gases, space. All that is Krishna's energy. And Krishna's energy and Krishna are the same. There's not a difference. If Krishna's energy are not different. Or if we want to think in modern scientific terms, so I often talk about this. So if you look at your hand for a minute. So what was this hand yesterday? What was it yesterday? It was a chapati or some rice or a carrot or a tomato. Yes? And what was that? What was that carrot or tomato or bread or what was that? What was that?
Water.
It was water and?
Water.
Sunlight and? A little minerals from the earth. That's all it was. It was just water, sunlight, and a little bit of earth minerals. Now this hand, it's transformed sunlight. Is that cool? All of our bodies are just transformation of sunlight and water and little minerals. And what is this sunlight? Krishna says, I am the?
I.
The sunlight, the sun says I. He says, I am the light of the sun. I am the light of the sun. Arjuna says to Krishna, he sees the universal form. You are air, you are water, you are fire. This water is Krishna. And the earth is Krishna. Now this body we're inhabiting is nothing but Krishna. So instead of thinking this body is so dear to me, separate from Krishna, it's my body. I mean, Prabhupada says here, the living entity is the cause of this particular body. Because we had some particular desires and particular karma, therefore we got a particular body. This is very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that the senses are looped around the mind. But the body is nothing but Krishna. Why not make the actual person dear to us? Why just make that person's energy dear to us, separate from the person? Then it's not very effective. It's like if I go in your home and I see there's some artwork that you created, or there's your money, you left your money lying on the table, and I take your artwork and I take your money without your permission, and I take it to my own home and I enjoy it. So I'm enjoying your energy, but I'm enjoying your energy separate from you. Or suppose I go to your home and I'm enjoying your artwork and your opulence with you. What I'm really enjoying is your company. You know, let's say you take someone out to Govinda's restaurant, Gopal's restaurant, and you're spending your money feeding them, and you're enjoying their company. That's very pleasing. But if the person steals your money and goes to Gopal's restaurant, that's not pleasing. It's the same money, yes. So this body is really nothing but Krishna's energy, which means it's nothing but Krishna. Therefore, we take Krishna as the most dear. And not only the body, you're also the mind. Wonderful. When Krishna speaks to the gopis at Kurukshetra, and also when he sends a letter through Uddhava to Vrindavan, and Krishna says, I'm never apart from you. Mano buddhir evacha. The mind and the intelligence is also nothing but Krishna. And Prabhupada says something amazing in the Krishna book in that regard, where he says all the mental functions are nothing but Krishna, and therefore if you can think, and you can feel, and you can desire, you are in touch with Krishna. And of course Krishna also explains this, sarvasya-chaham-vayi-sandhi-vistoma-tasma-tirgyanama-pomanaj. All of our remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, that is all Krishna's energies. So instead of taking shelter as the mind, in the mind separate from Krishna, we take shelter directly in Krishna. And ultimately, our very self The soul. Here it says, Krishna is the soul. The Supreme Personality of God and how he is the soul and the super soul of all living entities. Ultimately, what's dear to us is our in our own self. Separate from the body and mind, that's what's most dear to us. But that is also Krishna. We are not Krishna absolutely in the sense that we're not God. But Krishna and the soul are also one. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We're not only different, we are also one. And this particular verse is stressing the oneness of Krishna with the soul, the oneness of Krishna with the mind, the oneness of Krishna with the body. Therefore, everything that we hold the most dear, there's this wonderful verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, I am the mother, the father, the grandsire. And Prabhupada in that purport says, your mother, your father, your grandfather, they are all part of Krishna, and as part of Krishna, they are not different from Krishna, therefore they are also Krishna. Now again, if I think my mother is Krishna, separate from Krishna, then I become disappointed. If I take shelter of my mother separate from Krishna, I become very disappointed. But if I see that Krishna is everywhere, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilachani, Santas Tavarna Vedeshi Vilachani, Namshama Sundara Vachin Shripunasana. Just like when Ramananda Roy saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I see you as Radha and Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, you're a great devotee, you see Krishna everywhere. And then Ramananda Roy said, stop playing with me. So this is actual Krishna consciousness. You know, Mahaprabhu is going and he sees an ordinary hill, and he says, oh, there's Govardhana. I see some water. Oh, there's the Jamuna. And if we take Krishna as the most dear, and we see this body and this mind and ourselves as Krishna's energy, then, interestingly enough, then we're not disturbed when the body lets us down, and the mind lets us down, and other people let us down, and our things let us down. Because we're taking as the most dear the source of everything. So the process is a very small change in consciousness. Therefore, the devotees, they don't hate their body. They don't hate their mind. They don't hate their family. They don't hate their machines. They're all Krishna's enemy. How can you hate everything that's Krishna's enemy? But then we become fully satisfied when we see that Krishna is the most dear. I'm taking care of this body, not so I can enjoy it, and not so I can think of me, but because it's also Krishna. I take care of my mind, not so I can enjoy it and have it as my shelter, because it's also Krishna. I take care of me, the soul, because I'm also Krishna. I take care of my family, I'm also Krishna. I take care of my house, it's also Krishna. And this same urge that we're now putting separately to the body and mind, and even separately to the self, separately to our family, to our home, to our cars, to our computers, to our dogs, whatever. This same energy of longing for this attachment, we just transfer it directly to Krishna. So I think one has to learn something new. Bhakti's not. Okay, we're not going to have a seminar on how to develop a sense of Krishna being the most dear. We already have a seminar. What do you want to do? We already want to have a sense that this person is very dear to me, or this object is very dear to me, or my body is very dear to me. Just do that for Krishna. And then one doesn't lose anything. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you don't lose the results of fruitive activities or mental speculation or mystic yoga. Little pleasure and shelter we get now from our body, whatever little pleasure and shelter we get now from our mind, whatever little pleasure and shelter we get now from our very self, from our friends, from our objects, from our animals, from our this, from our that, we'll still get that. We'll get more than that. We'll get much more than that. Just imagine if one really meditates how this body is Krishna's energy, Krishna's presence. This body is just a transformation of sunlight, and the sunlight is Krishna, is Krishna. You get so much more pleasure out of your body than you get thinking this body is mine from you, Arjuna. Yes? Well, we've been working transcendental bliss. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's advice. And we may say, well, this is way too high for me. You're talking for some elevated devotees, but who is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to? He's speaking, first of all, to children.
And is that devil speaking to children who are children of demons? So is he speaking to people who are very spiritually qualified? No? He's saying, you can do it. So if the children whose parents are demons, if they can develop this mentality, then what is our excuse? Oh, it's too hard. I'll do it later when I'm advanced. No, you can do it today. So questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions. Yes?
That neglectfulness of things is also
ignore, isn't it? Yes, it is. Neglecting anything is ultimately illusion. Vibhoga tyaga, trying to enjoy things separately from Krishna is illusion, and neglecting things is also illusion. If I'm a guest in your house and I steal your money for my own enjoyment, that's not real, it's not my money. And if I go there and trash your house, that's not real either. You're taking care of me, correct? Yes?
That neglectfulness is actually selfishness, isn't it?
Hmm?
That neglectfulness is being selfish.
Absolutely. The neglect is selfish. It's like, okay, this body's disappointed me, this mind's disappointed me. Neglect it. You know, and it's just like in our ordinary human relationship. So, you know, my wife didn't have dinner ready when I got home 2 days in a row, okay, divorce her. we do this to for ourselves. You know, the whole impersonalism is this hatred of ourselves. You know, well, I'm just having this spiritual, being a spiritual personality. It's just so troublesome. Being full of desires and emotions and life. This is so troublesome. Okay, just merge with the light and forget about it all. Actually, it says the demons are envious of themselves. They hate themselves. They want to take away their own opulences. Yes, thank you. Anything else? Yes.
What about family members? You have the feeling you want to remember that they are spirit souls and you want to be kind and pay attention, but sometimes you might find that they're very quite obnoxious sometimes, and they don't allow you to live the life you've chosen and peacefully, and it fills me sometimes with some guilt that I want to avoid them. I want to neglect them.
Okay, so have you have family members who are obnoxious sometimes?
Sometimes.
All the time. Some family members are obnoxious all the time, okay? And who don't let you live the life that you want to do, and you think better to stay away from them. So I don't know if you invite me back after I say this, but maybe other people think that way about us too. I'm sure these people think that way about me, and not about anybody here. But you know, we tend to have a very self. You know, our vision thing is very much in the self. And what I am discovering in Krishna consciousness is that generally I get treated the way I treat others in the present tense. So the way others treat me generally is also the way I'm treating others. Now, it may not be that other. So person A may be obnoxious to me. Maybe I'm nice to person A, but I'm probably obnoxious to person B. And I'm probably obnoxious to person B in a similar way that person A is obnoxious to me. And you can always test this if you think that what I'm saying just absolutely doesn't apply to you, that the way people are being obnoxious with you has nothing to do with the way that you're obnoxious to others, then I humbly suggest that you ask whoever you particularly are attached to, Krishna, Balaram, maybe Krishna, Balaram, or Radharani, or Govardhan Thari, or Chaitanya, or Vichananda, or Tulsi Devi, whoever you have a relationship with, and say, please show me in the next 24 hours how I am doing to people the nasty things that I think they are doing to me. And see what happens. You may be surprised. So I have found this to be almost completely true, 85-90% of the time, that when people are obnoxious to me in some way, that I am in a very similar way obnoxious to somebody. My first discovery of this, I'm supposed to end exactly at 8:15. Is it like exactly at 8:15? So my first discovery of this, when I first accepted it as a principle, so I was in a community, I was running a school, and the heads of the community would sometimes, they would have management meetings that included me, and sometimes they had management meetings that didn't include me. And sometimes at the management meetings that didn't include me, they would make decisions that affected the school. And then they tell me later, oh, we made this decision, and you should know about it. And I say, well, when you're going to make a decision that affects the school, I would appreciate it if you would include me. And they say, well, we don't always know what we're going to decide. It just comes up in the meeting. And I say, well, then call me. Or stop and plan it for the next meeting when I'm there. Oh, yes, we'll do that, we'll do that. And then it would happen again. And I'd say, would you please, you know, you can do that. And then it would happen again. And it was going on periodically for many years. And then I thought, well, if it's a principle that what we're getting back, we're giving out, if that's a true principle in the universe, I don't think I'm doing this to people. I don't think I make decisions about people's lives without consulting with them first. I just don't think I do that. I don't see that I do this, but maybe I am. So I went to Krishna and I said, my dear Lord, I'm going to assume that I do this, although I don't see it. Would you please reveal it to me? So I made that request in the evening. And then I forgot about it. You ever do that? You pray to Krishna for something, and then you forget that you prayed to Krishna for it? So I just completely forgot about it. So the next morning I came to the temple, and somehow that day I was really, I remember I was praying to Radharani, and I said, please, you know, I really want to chant purely. If there's any devotees that I offended, you know, please let it be rectified so I can somehow taste the pure holy name. And I remember I had to leave early that morning, so I stopped by the kitchen, and I said, can I just get some plate of prasadam to take with me? I can't stay. And the cook said, you know, all the time I was cooking, I felt I had to tell you something, but I think you're going to be really upset. I said, no way. She said, you know, my good friend, she's hardly been to the temple at all for the last year. I said, yeah. She said, well, you know why? I said, no. She said, because you really offended her about a year ago. I said, oh, thank you. That was my prayer this morning, dear God. Still, I forgot what I had prayed the night before. So I went back to my house and I called her up and I said, you know, your friend told me I offended you. You're right. I don't remember what I did. What did I do? I really would like to rectify it. And she said, well, you know that there was this woman going to have a baby and you were going to help with the birth. I do that a lot. Or I did that a lot. I was a doula and I helped deliver many dozens and dozens of babies. She said, you were going to go help with the birth. And I was also going to be there, but you advised the mother that I shouldn't be there. That I had the wrong kind of energy and you didn't think that I should be at the birth. And you said that to her without talking to me first. She said, why did you make a decision about my life without consulting with me? And I was on the other end of the phone. And I went, oh, my. You know, and I was able, thank you, Krishna, to make a sincere apology. It was rectified. But what interested me is I hadn't coded that experience like that. I was thinking, I'm trying to help the mother, and I'm trying to protect the mother, and this woman did have a real like hyper energy. I really wasn't thinking about this other lady at all, in any way whatsoever. I wasn't thinking how she would react or what her feelings were. I just wasn't thinking about it. She was out of my awareness. And since then, I could tell you many other stories, and since then I've had many other experiences like this, where people treat me in a way that's obnoxious. And then sometimes now I don't even have to ask. Krishna immediately says, oh, this is what you're doing. And oops. So my humble suggestion first is when people mistreat you is ask Krishna, do I do this to somebody else? Instead of just thinking I want to get away from them. Because often what happens when you get away from them, Krishna just puts you with another obnoxious person. Have you discovered that? Why? Because that's what we're putting out. We're putting out that energy, so it's ricocheting back to us. And if it's not ricocheting back to us, then this person is ricocheting back to us from another person. And again, the person that's giving us back to us may not be the person we're giving it to. We're giving it over there, and it's coming from that direction. And it may be coming in a very different form. You know, I gave it out in one form, and it came back to me in a very different form. I didn't recognize it. I didn't see it. So that would be the first thing. And then the second thing is, remember, even when people are being obnoxious, they're very rarely aware that they're being obnoxious. I wasn't aware I was being obnoxious. I had no awareness of it at all. Most people are not aware, and
and they're simply trying to meet their own needs. And if they're devotees, they're trying to love Krishna. So if they're not devotees, they're trying to love Krishna in the wrong way. And if they're devotees, they're trying to love Krishna in the right way, but maybe they're missing it. But all they're trying to do is love Krishna. They just may be their ignorance or whatever. And just see that. See, this person's really like George Harrison wrote in his introduction to Krishna book. Everyone's looking for Krishna. Some don't realize that they are, but they are. One of the most wonderful things to read, which I read over and over, and I could probably just read over and over, now that is my only reading, except for there's so many other wonderful, nice things to read, is the preface to the Nectar of Devotion, which Srila Prabhupada says that everything everyone's doing is to enjoy rasa, to enjoy some pleasure, and there are the 12 rasas with Krishna, and everything we're doing is trying to enjoy one of these rasas with Krishna, except we're trying to enjoy with Krishna's energy instead of with Krishna. So everything everyone's doing, they're trying to enjoy some rasa. Maybe they're trying to enjoy anger. That's one of the rasas. Yes, you all know the 12 rasas. Maybe they're trying to enjoy ghastliness. Maybe they're trying to enjoy compassion, which is also sadness. People want to enjoy sadness. You know, why do they pay to see sad movies? They do. You say, was it a good movie? Oh, it was good. You know, sometimes people want to enjoy sadness. Oh, I'm so sad. Sometimes people want to enjoy vira-rasa, chivalry. Chivalry has three parts. Fighting, charity, and righteousness. Sometimes people want to enjoy fighting. They do. So sometimes people are being obnoxious with you. They're trying to enjoy maybe anger or fighting or gasliness. And your mood should be, hey, would you quit trying to enjoy this rasa with me? I'm not Krishna. Why don't you go to enjoy with Krishna? You're going to the wrong place. It's like if you go to a hardware store and you say, where's your oranges? Sorry, we don't have oranges here. It's a hardware store. You know, you can, and sometimes you can't say that to the other person, but you can at least think that in your heart. This poor, unfortunate person. They're trying to enjoy some rasa with me, as if I'm Krishna, but I can't satisfy them. Or maybe the problem is I'm trying to enjoy rasa with them as if they're Krishna. Maybe that's why I find them to be troublesome. Maybe I'm trying to have some rasa with them independently of Krishna, and they're not reciprocating with me properly because they can't, because they're not Krishna, because maybe I'm trying to get oranges from their heart, Krishna. Maybe that's why. And then you find everything gets to be adjusted. But that doesn't mean you have to live with everybody, you know. You don't have to bring a tiger into your bedroom. It's not that everybody, some living entities, you can love them and respect them from a distance. Like in Vrindavan, where there's all those rhesus monkeys, there's bars in the windows, you know, you don't let them into your house. They'll trash the place. So you can love them. They're looking for Krishna also. Does that make sense? So those are my suggestions.
I'm understanding from what you said that instead of being irritated and annoyed and self-righteous, that to just be loving and compassionate.
Well, if we're irritated and annoyed, what else are we trying to enjoy? Anger. Is it very satisfying? Do you actually enjoy the anger rasa with them when you feel like that? No.
No, there's a guilt feeling.
Yeah, it's just
feeling
awful.
Like that. Yeah. But then I'm happy you said, you know, you don't let the monkeys through the bars.
No. I mean, sometimes, if someone's really a rhesus monkey, I mean, sometimes you just have to. Some people are rhesus by acting like rhesus monkeys.
But you wish them well for the people away.
Yes, yeah. So some people you have to keep.
Yes, so that's what I got from you.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do that. But if you try to do that, and Krishna keeps putting people like that in your life, if your main way of dealing with obnoxious people is separating yourself from them, and then simply find another obnoxious person, another obnoxious person, another obnoxious person, then and Krishna sometimes put obnoxious people in your life that you just can't get rid of, that your own kid or something, you can't just throw them out when they're 9 years old. So, I mean, if sometimes that happens, or you're sitting next to them on, you know, intercontinental flight, and all the seats in the plane are full, and you just have to sit next to the person.
can't open the emergency exit over the Pacific Ocean. Sometimes like that. And then you have to look at the other things too. Am I putting this out? Krishna show me. Assume I am putting this out. Krishna show me where I'm putting this out. Krishna let me back. What I have found is that when I rectify that, then somehow those obnoxious people go away on their own or stop being obnoxious. I found this over and over and over. I don't have to go away. I had a situation with one extremely obnoxious person that when I stopped being obnoxious, somehow they stopped being obnoxious. It was quite interesting. And now we're very good friends.
Jacob Pant said to if someone's tight and crook enough, you have to be generous with them.
Yeah.
If you're generous and crook enough, then he's lucky enough to go and help that, he tends to change.
That's right. Well, just also karmically, you're not putting out the energy anymore, so you're not getting it back. You're not feeding the system. Generally, we're feeding the system. That's generally. Figure 85-90%. That we're actually putting that in. What's coming back to us, we're putting in. Generally. And in the few times when that's not the case, then you may have to love them from a distance and you have compassion on them and you see how they're looking for Krishna. Is that all right? Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.